This is Doing Daily. I'm your host, Jonathan Stark, and today I am joined by daily emailer Lauren Pearl. Check it out. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Jonathan.
For folks who are just hearing your name for the first time, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So by training, I'm a CFO and business strategist. So I've been running companies and working alongside CEOs for about 15 years. So my kind of overarching mission is to show CEOs and teams kind of how to run the business by the numbers, essentially instead of doing it by, you know, using YOLO. I help businesses who run awesome companies based on like a gut instinct incorporate math and numbers to make more money. So I do this in sort of two different ways with two different companies currently. The first is LPC. It's a finance advisory. So I help CEOs one-on-one make better business decisions. And the second company I just started this year, it's called Pearl and Elmore. And we're looking at company offsite conversations. So those meetings where leadership gets together all in one room in person. And we think it's this like underutilized moment that can be the highest return on investment moment throughout the entire year. So that's kind of where we're specialized. We help you have this great conversation that can really drive impact for the rest of the year at a larger remote global company.
Great. That's great. So you are here because you run a daily email list, isn't that right?
I do. It's called Daily CFO.
Great. And when did you start doing the daily list?
I started a few months back. I actually just had my 100th post, I think, the other week, which is very exciting.
Yeah, isn't that funny? A few months back, 100 posts.
It is. It's really crazy. When you do it every day or every weekday like I do, you really get through a lot very quickly.
Why did you start the daily list?
Yeah, so it's funny. I was kind of thinking about this before this interview to think through what was going on in my mind. I think I had a couple reasons. So one is, as I've been kind of running my own business, I've been thinking about marketing and thinking about the kind of things that I actually like doing versus like just, you know, what's absolutely going to work the absolute best and get everybody converted. And I really like writing. So a daily list really appealed for that reason. And the other thing was actually, I subscribed to your email list. when I first found out about you, I saw that you did a daily list. I thought about subscribing, was like, whoa, I don't know. That sounds like a lot, but ended up doing it anyway. I think probably through a lead magnet or something. And I just realized that I really liked it. Like I didn't mind receiving it as a viewer. It was a really nice kind of daily tip. It wasn't intrusive. It was very quick. And it left me with just kind of a daily good impression of you. And so when I thought about my own newsletter, I kind of realized like for someone who needs what I do, that's exactly the kind of impression I want to leave. And I like the idea of just being kind of subtly helpfully in their inbox every day. So that was, I think, one of my biggest push for like, I should try this. This might work for me.
Were you nervous about starting it?
Oh, yeah. I was very nervous. I was really nervous mostly because I was worried about being annoying. I help out a lot of engineering focused companies, a lot of like engineers who start businesses, and a lot of them are kind of obsessed with like inbox zero, not having any email clutter. You know, they're very kind of allergic to any marketing efforts. So I was worried about kind of making them angry. But in fact, I found like, you know, there's a couple of those folks who didn't want to receive the newsletter. That's fine. They just said no, or they subscribed and they just, you know, left after a couple of posts. But there's also folks in that area who they stayed on, and I see them like quoting the newsletter and like really finding things useful. And so, you know, it wasn't an unfounded fear, but it didn't make it not worth doing, if that makes sense.
Right. So what benefits have you gotten from the list? You just alluded to people quoting it, but are there other benefits that you or the readers have gotten?
Definitely. So I think the benefits were not exactly what I thought they would be. I think my main hope initially was like conversion. I want people to see this newsletter and fall in love with me and buy my services. That's happened a little bit. I've definitely got some folks converted from the newsletter or like referred from folks who have been following the newsletter. So it does work for that. But I think more immediately, the benefits I saw were more almost internal. So one is it really got me much better at writing well very quickly. And that's been really, really helpful and interesting. It really doesn't take me too much time to put together a post. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it takes, you know, up to an hour. But most times it's like, you know, 20 minutes to get something together. And that's just when you're running your own business, it's so useful to be able to just like spin up a quick thing. It's like you always end up having to do that, whether it's speaking on a call and having to kind of like convince someone of something, or writing up a sales page, or making a LinkedIn post, or anything. It's incredibly useful. I also found that it was the only kind of marketing-y thing that I did that it feels really good. Like it's a bit of like a daily moment of zen where I get to just kind of let everything else drop out and just try to be useful and try to say something true and helpful. And it's almost like the way that some folks do like morning pages and reflect on that, feeling really nice. It's almost like doing a morning pages, but it's for my business, and I get to share it with people who could really use kind of that version of input and tips and information. The other thing it's been helpful for is it's been a bit of like a body of work that I can pull from for other stuff. So like I post on LinkedIn sometimes. I've definitely been trying to grow my presence there, but it's not my favorite place to be in the world. It can get a little annoying. And it's nice to have like, I have 5 posts a week that I can just take, tweak a little bit and repurpose for LinkedIn kind of effortlessly. And it lowers my amount of time that I have to spend like thinking on that platform. And then final thing I would say would be, and I've kind of tested out doing this a couple different ways, I can use it as a content generator as well. So like if I'm trying to think about making like a lead generator or like a course on something, or like I want to market a new piece of my business or my practice, I can kind of test it out first on the newsletter, and I can like start to build it using the newsletter. Like if I can explain that thing in my newsletter, I can take that copy and repurpose it directly into something that I need for the business. And it kind of like, I get to borrow the momentum of my daily posts to get that thing done, that writing task done.
Cool.
So that's really helpful. Yeah.
That's great. So it sounds like you write Monday through Friday, and you said it takes you sometimes an hour, but more like 20 minutes. Do you do them in batches, or is it like you write one and then send it, write one and send it, write one and send it?
Mostly I write it the day of. On occasion, if I just think of a lot of good ideas all at once, I'll have a couple of them like in batches ready to go. Sometimes that happens. Like I'll get a flurry of like ideas or an idea for a second post while I'm writing one. And if that's the case, I might kind of like save it and bucket it so I have it for a rainy day in case I don't feel like writing someday.
Sure.
Yeah, but for the most part, every day.
Is there a particular time that you do it, or you just fit it in when you've got, when you're in the zone, or you're in the mood, or you got a spot in your calendar?
I kind of fit it in when I can. If I can't fit it in, I end up doing it late at night, and the wanting to go to bed becomes the pressure to get it done.
Yeah.
But yeah, most times I'll like try to get it maybe like during the middle of the day sometime, where I'm kind of like almost ready to take a break, but I have a little energy for something else. I'll do it then.
And is there a particular place that you write, or is it just at your laptop in general?
Either at my laptop or on my phone. My method is I keep kind of a running list of newsletter ideas in my notes app on my iPhone. And then I will copy paste those into ConvertKit is the platform that I use. Yeah, so it just depends on what I have with me. It's a little easier to do on my laptop, but I can get it done on my phone as well.
I was just going to ask what platform you use. You said ConvertKit. That's cool. Is there anything that you like or dislike about the tools that you're using? So it sounds like your whole workflow is basically on your phone. It's just flesh something out in notes on iPhone and then paste it into ConvertKit and send it. Or if you're on your laptop, maybe you compose it directly in ConvertKit and just send it. Is there anything about that really simple workflow that you feel like you like or don't like or would improve or change?
Totally, actually. I use it every day. So what I would love to improve first would be like the formatting from notes to ConvertKit isn't great. The copy paste directly in. I've played with a couple of ways to kind of get around that, but haven't found a great way. basically what happens is if you copy straight from Notes to ConvertKit, or at least I do with my stack, all of the like spacing gets kind of screwed up, like enters, hard returns don't go through. And then like, anyway, it doesn't look quite right. You have to reformat it when you get it in there. So that's not the best. I wish that happened better. Also, ConvertKit, it doesn't have like a mobile app. So if I'm doing something on my phone, I have to literally pull up the browser. And, you know, if I, if things don't go perfectly, if I writing ConvertKit on my phone, I also might like lose the progress if like the connection is funky, so that's no good. I've never lost like a huge amount of work, but you know, it's probably just not caught up to me in terms of auto saving on a couple times where I'm like, oh, that was a good line, I don't remember what it was. And then the other is sort of like moving from, I like to put my posts as well on my website, so they have kind of like I have a kind of an archive record, and I can just post them to my website and have them go to ConvertKit. But the other direction, I've not found a good way for doing that. So I actually have a very helpful intern who will take them from ConvertKit and paste them onto my blog with like the formatting and everything kind of like tweaked in so we know it looks right. So having a smoother process for that would be really cool too.
Right. Cool. I mean, you've only been doing this for a few months, but have you ever used different tools or platforms maybe in the past, or is this basically your first serious email experience?
I helped run a newsletter at one of the companies where I used to be a W-2. I'm trying to recall what platform we used. I think we might have used like WordPress or something. It's not something I want to switch to. I do like that ConvertKit, like I'm kind of used to it. I kind of know what I'm getting. I've got like a little bit of automation in it for when folks sign in, they get kind of like 5 posts predictably that I know are ones that, you know, kind of introduce them to what the newsletter is going to be like and give them some like basics around like my theory on how I look at businesses. It works well enough that I haven't bothered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you send them out at the same time every day? Like you write it perhaps late at night, perhaps in the middle of the day, and then do you send it right then, or do you schedule it for like the next morning at 9?
I only schedule it if I happen to write it the day before. When I first started my newsletter, I tried to like kind of schedule them for the following day. So if I wanted to post on a Monday, I'd like be writing on a Sunday evening and posting in the morning. That works fine. I found that I don't love writing on the weekend. Like for me, I run my newsletter goes from Monday through Friday, and I skip holidays. And you know, if ever I have a day where I just like, ugh, I don't feel like writing, I'll just skip it. I'll push it. I've tended now, as I've been doing it more often, I tend to just post on the day of and just hit like publish immediately. It's just kind of how it's evolved.
Right. It's done. You're like done. I don't have to think about this. It's out. That's in the right. World. It's too late. I can't go back and edit it.
It's totally true. And like it's happened a million times where I'm like, oh, I spelled this word wrong, or oh, there was a typo here. And it's like, it just kind of doesn't matter. Like people don't care. You know, the worst thing that happens is you write a post that I think the only thing that's ever happened that's caused someone subscribes is like if I write something that's a little too like marketing heavy, like a little too salesy, because that's what people don't want, like receiving an email. But for the most part, I mean, your email list tends to be pretty forgiving, or at least mine does. People don't have time to worry about if you made a typo. So.
So you mentioned that sometimes you skip a day and you break for vacations and stuff. Do you announce that in any way? You're just like, oh, sorry, I missed a day yesterday. You just like keep rolling.
Depends on how long the break's going to be. So for a day where I just don't feel like it, I just skip it and I don't say anything. And I kind of think of it as like you call attention to something, you make it a bigger deal. Like no one noticed that my daily newsletter right. No one cares that my newsletter didn't go out. No one was sitting there in their inbox waiting for it to come in until midnight and noticed it didn't happen. That didn't happen. That doesn't happen. So it doesn't matter. However, if I'm going to go on a vacation and I don't want to continue the newsletter throughout that time, I'll send a note just kind of letting folks know what's up. You know, I'm heading out. This is what I'm doing. If I want to share that. Also, in my newsletter, every Friday, early on in the newsletter, as I was kind of going along, I decided that for every Friday, I wanted to do kind of something special. So I do what I call the Friday finance break, because I'm a CFO, right? So I talk a lot about finance stuff. But on Fridays, I don't. On Fridays, I talk about founder mental health, because it's another kind of area I'm passionate about. And so I always kind of sign off with something a little different, a little bit more about how to make this journey easier, thinking about the human side of things. And it plays really well into things like taking breaks. Like, it's kind of part of my mission that when you take a break, it's a break. So that I do feel really comfortable bringing attention to, because I want that to be kind of part of the ethos of what people take from my newsletter as well.
Great. So let's pivot a little bit, and I'd like to ask you some questions about the content itself, or some more questions about the content itself. So okay. How do you come up with enough stuff to write about? That's like a crazy amount of posts, 100 posts in 3 months or so. How do you not run out of ideas?
They just kind of come. I think one thing that's helpful is I do keep a little bit of a backlog of different ideas I've kind of come up with. There, throughout the day, you kind of just like bump into situations where, and again, like as you write these, your brain starts to notice little thoughts that you think throughout the day, or sound bites that you hear other folks say, or, you know, even stuff that you read on LinkedIn that's like, ugh, that's so wrong. Like, you start to kind of log those of like, I want to talk about this in my newsletter. This would be a good topic for the newsletter.
I like that. So do you ever find yourself with writer's block? You're just like staring at the screen and nothing's coming?
Honestly, it has happened a couple times. It's often like on a day where just like, oh my gosh, it's been so busy. I had like 10 customer calls, or I like got really exhausted, or, you know, it does happen on occasion. And I think it's not that I don't have anything to write about. It's like sometimes it just, you know, just like an athlete, you hit a wall. For me, there's a couple tricks I'll try when that happens. Like, one of the tricks I'll try is like, I'll challenge myself to say, okay, I'm having a little trouble like writing this kind of like, you know, the typical finance haiku that I typically do, you know, short and sweet, but, you know, beginning, middle, end sort of situation that I normally strive for. Instead, I'll be like, okay, Lauren, what's the shortest thing that you can write that is true? Like, what's the tiniest little thing? Because it's not like people are, again, the thing that's so interesting about this is like, you're trading folks their time. So like, shorter is not worse. It can be better as long as it's helpful. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll like give myself that challenge. But then if I really am pushing and can't, it's like, all right, you know what? This isn't a newsletter day. That's fine. But by the next day, I'm brimming with ideas. You know, it tends to be very like rare and temporary.
It sounds like mostly an energy thing.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, it's an energy thing, not an ideas thing. Mm.
So how long are your messages? I think you said, but how long are they usually?
I haven't done like a word count on any of them. They tend to be, I mean, I've done a couple that have been like, you know, 2 to 3 lines. Those are like the how short can I make them ones. More often, it's like, it's about the same size as you'd expect for like a LinkedIn post. So like, I don't even know what that would be under a word count, but it's going to be kind of more the length of a poem, or like something that you can read in under a minute. Like, it's a very quick kind of like, here's an idea, or here's a helpful tip. They shouldn't be sitting there reading it like for ages. It's something that they could do between like 2 sips of coffee.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great one. Oh, I love that visual. Okay. So inside of the messages, so we're talking about content, how often do you promote paid things?
I've tested out a couple different like ways of doing like selling my services via the newsletter. I don't do it super often. I've also played with like what I put in the footer and whether that's like a sell versus just kind of a reference. So to be specific with that, like, in the footer, I've played around with, you know, P.S. Like, are you having this specific pain point? Like, wouldn't it be nice to, you know, doing basically a sales blurb in the footer as a P.S. It's been interesting. And instead, what I've done now is I more just have a quick hit menu of like, here's how you get in contact with me. Like, here's how you book a session with me. Here's how you get in touch with me. you know, just a quick reference. And I found that like the click rate hasn't been very different. And actually it might've gone up now that it's just a reference as opposed to a sell. So for me and my email and that and my audience, it seems like folks really just kind of want a way to reach me rather than be sold on the fact that they need to. And then in the email, I haven't had the best luck with like selling something in an email and have someone reach out and say like, oh, that's what I want to buy. What I can do though is kind of like allude to a part of what I might include in a sale, like a pain point or like a solution or like something like that without selling it. And that might get some responses, some interest in my audience that eventually could lead to like a conversation that could be a sale.
Yeah. Let's switch over to engagement. So let's start with open rates, because that's like in click-throughs, some people, when they first start out, they get obsessed with that stuff. Or of course, subscriber count is huge too. So how often do you actually look at it?
I look at my new subscribers kind of often, mostly because I want to check if like something I've done in another arena has resulted in an ad, or like someone new subscribing. So like if I posted something on LinkedIn or I'm trying like a new thing in my networking, I'll take a peek at that because it's a good indicator of like how those activities are going and if it's leading to conversion to my newsletter. In terms of open rates, I guess I see that when it's like, when I look at all of my broadcasts, it's right there. So I can kind of look back and see, compare from post to post and what the open rates are. But I also see that very much as just like a metric that measures like how good the headline was, like how good the subject was, not really as a reflection of like the content itself. Because once you see the headline, you open it, even if you hated the content, you already opened it. So the data that I get from that is like, oh, this topic is of interest, or this way I wrote this subject is of interest. And that's data I can later use for something like a LinkedIn, for something like a sales page. Click rate, again, I also see it as data. Like I know, though it's data with bias. Like I know the highest click rate emails are the ones that have links in them. it's not always because folks are like, oh, really interested in that thing. And it can be interesting to see like, oh, I got 8 clicks on that. What are they clicking? And like, what's the story that would make sense of like why they're clicking? It's good data. But there's kind of contextual reasoning about it. Sometimes it's useful. Sometimes it's just like, well, the link was available, so of course they clicked on it because it was right there. Yeah, it's all just data to me though. None of it, you know, I don't really look at unsubscribes. I'll look at them again because it's data. Like if someone decided on this particular day to unsubscribe and there were a couple of them, like, oh, was something in here like not landing right, or did it make them think that this isn't really the right list for them? And sometimes unsubscribes, you can make it even better data by noticing like who did, because if they're in your target audience, that's really good to know. But if they're outside of your audience, it's like, oh yeah, who cares? they're not the kind of person that would be interested in it. You know, I'm impressed they stayed this long sort of thing.
Right. So my favorite kind of engagement is replies. How many replies do you tend to get in a week?
That's tough to call. It really depends on what I'm writing about. I'd say I get at least a couple a week. I get more of them. I tend to get more replies when I'm like thinking about posting about something that's like a little spicy or a little like, I don't know if I want to share this. Something where it's like, oh, I want to post this on LinkedIn, but I'm really worried about what the world would think of this. I'll like try it out on my newsletter first. And I'm always glad I did, because I always, for those things in particular, I always get a response that really lets me get a sneak peek on like how it makes people feel. That's been like my favorite kind of responses, is like folks being like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Or, oh, this really changed how I thought about this thing. Or, oh, this really resonated. Yeah, those feel really great. Those are, and it's really good to know, to give you the bravery to then go maybe share it on a more public forum.
Mm-hmm. Do you generally respond to all of these? It doesn't sound like you're buried in them.
I'm not buried in them. I respond to every single one of them. It's not a big extra burden for sure.
Do you ever get negative ones, or ones that are argumentative or just disagree?
Definitely not often. I might have had like, I'm trying to think if I've had anyone even disagree. I might have had one or two where I've had like someone offer up another opinion, but never in a unkind way. Like in a like, oh, did you think about this? In an additive way. I've never had a response that's been an unpleasant experience for me personally.
So I know a lot of people are wondering about how to get their first subscribers if they started a list. So how did you do that? How did you get your first subscribers? And how many did it take for you to feel like you weren't just sending messages to the void?
Yeah, so I started my subscriber list kind of in two waves. When I first got started, I did sort of a like quote unquote beta release of my newsletter where I think it was like about 10 to 20 folks who were people that were in my closer network, people who I knew, like I trusted and would have like patience with me as I got started. I was very nervous, I would say, when I first got started, and it's easier to recall how I felt remembering how few people I was comfortable sharing it with at first. Just like reminds me that, oh, actually, I was pretty nervous. I was really worried about the daily thing and how that would feel for people receiving it. And so for those first 10 to 20, I like mentioned that I wanted to share this with them. I sent them an email, basically a little email with everybody BCC'd saying like, this is a thing I'm trying. Here's what it's about. Here's why I, you know, the fact that I was doing it as a beta and that way they were like a small group where I wanted to get honest impressions, honest feedback. And I think I spent a couple weeks just sharing it with them. And then the second wave, once I'd like felt comfortable with that group, the second wave was more like everyone I could think about in my network who might find this of interest. So like previous clients, business owners, other service providers, folks from, my Stern MBA network, folks from my BU network, folks from Deloitte, like every kind of circle of people that I could think of where we were on like an email to email basis. I kind of shared it with them, and that was like the next really big wave. And after that, I guess there's a third kind of wave, was sharing it with broader network on LinkedIn, which are like, you know, folks that are kind of even beyond that. I've met most of them, but like some of them, you know, maybe no more than a Zoom call, mentioned that I was doing this, doing kind of a big splashy post about it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And in the first emails, the personal ones to the very smallest circle, what was the reaction? So you hit send with all these BCCs, let's say there's 50 of them. And what was the reaction coming? What did you say? If it's not, I mean, if it's too long, then never mind. But you know, basically you described what it was and why you're doing it. But what was your ask? Did you say, go to this link to sign up? Or did you say, you know, reply if it's okay for me to add your email address to this thing? Or did you just add their email addresses and say, unsubscribe if you don't want it?
I'm trying to recall. It feels like forever ago, even if it was only a couple of months. I definitely did not just add them because that wouldn't feel good. I think I provided a link for them to sign up. Initially, actually, I did sort of like a double opt-in. This was, and I was glad I rolled out the beta testers because I recall in my class of doing daily, there was a bit of a discussion on whether double opt-in is the right way to do it or whether it's like if they opt-in, they opt-in and then you maybe reconfirm, you know, a month later or something if they're not reading the letter. I did the double opt-in to start, and I'm in the US, in New York specifically, and the double opt-in was really weird for my audience. Like they weren't used to having to take an extra step to confirm. So there were a few folks in that initial list who were like, I tried to sign up, but I haven't received anything. And I was like, oh yeah, you have to click okay on the confirmation email. And they were like, no, that's wrong. You shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah. The raging debate.
Yeah. So, but that was good. I learned that before I sent to the broader list and I turned off the double opt-in and that was the expected behavior that for folks in my audience, people were anticipating. But yeah, I think in that initial email, I explained what I was doing. I kept the email pretty short. And I invited them to opt in if they wanted to. I let them know that I wouldn't be offended if they unsubscribed at any time if it wasn't really a fit for, you know, what belonged in their inbox every day, but that I really valued their feedback. And I think the one thing to kind of go in prepared with is like, I think that's the right way to approach that to get the right folks reading your mail. But like, not everyone said yes. And like, that's okay. You know, if you're doing an email newsletter that's for a really specific target audience, not every single one of your friends is going to be in your target audience. Probably a lot of them are not going to be. And so, you know, the folks who are kind enough to like join and like give you feedback and like, you know, hear you out and maybe stick along or stay subscribed if it's really like in their wheelhouse and it's really adding value every day is wonderful. But if they're not your target customers, like, you know, those aren't the folks that are going to be following you for the rest of the time when you're on your 100th post. There's going to be more people and they're going to be in your target, and it's that's going to be okay.
Is there anything you do on a regular basis now after having gone through those three or four circles of your network that you do to regularly attract new subscribers?
On LinkedIn, again, I've mentioned LinkedIn a couple of times, but I find that's really one of the major ways that folks who don't know me discover me, if not from referrals. So on LinkedIn, whenever I post, I put a little footer in the post mentioning that folks can follow me or subscribe to my newsletter. And my link to my newsletter is right in my bio. Sort of like it's the go to my website button. You can go to my website and I'll send you right to sign up to the newsletter. The other thing I'll do is when new folks connect with me on LinkedIn, and mention specifically that they're doing it because they like my content, I'll send them kind of an offer that's like, okay, so glad that you're doing that. I'm really glad to be connected. Just to let you know, I only post here like once or twice a week, but if you want more content, like this is the newsletter where, you know, I share a lot more. And some folks will sign up that way. So it's not like, you know, 30 folks every day. It's like trickles in, but for me and my newsletter, that's enough.
Right. Has there been anything that's caused a noticeable bump in signups?
A couple times on LinkedIn, I've gone viral. Oh, yeah. So I'm quote unquote viral, where I got like more than 30,000 views on a post. Hmm. And, when that happens, I got a lot of new subscribers.
Wild.
Wild, exactly.
Do you get bummed out when people unsubscribe, or how do you feel when somebody unsubscribes? Because you said you do notice it.
Yeah, sometimes I feel a little bummed. Nearly always when I do feel bummed and I take a peek at who it was, it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And I feel a lot better. You know, I'll look at that and be like, oh, you're nowhere near my target market. Or like, oh, you signed up months ago and I don't know why you're still looking at it. You know, like, most times that story makes sense. So
right.
Yeah, I'll feel a little bummed. I'm human, but nothing crazy.
Do you ever prune the list? Like, you know, this person hasn't opened the last 90 emails in a row. I'm going to drop them.
Oh, that's a good idea. No, I haven't. I haven't bothered yet, but maybe I will.
It's probably a little early for that.
Sure.
So let's move over to recommendations. What sorts of businesses do you think would benefit from doing a daily list like you're doing?
I mean, I think it's more like I'd struggle to think about who wouldn't. I think as long as you have like helpful things that are true to say every day about the thing that you do and someone would benefit from knowing that every day, then it's a thing that you can do. I think as a reader, you know, folks subscribe to see something daily that is useful to them. And so kind of on this receiving end, if you're someone considering doing a daily letter, that's kind of the question I would be asking is like, given what it is that I sell, given who my customer is there value I can add every day? Is there like, something that's worth saying to these folks every day? Because I would say from a daily list, the benefits, are almost obvious on the side of the provider. Like, writing a daily list, regardless of if anyone reads it, is helpful. It's almost as if like you could be, I feel like I would feel like this was a helpful practice if my subscriber list were like 30. Like it's a lot of the benefits have nothing to do with folks reading it, and so much to do with you writing every day, getting better at doing so, crystallizing your ideas, understanding what it is that is in your domain, how to describe it well, getting that test bed of information, creating lots of content, and everyone benefits from that, from doing that.
Well said. Is there any advice you would give someone who is seriously considering starting a daily list, still on the fence?
Well, of course, I would advise that they sign up for doing daily.
Oh, yeah, email 365, right.
Yeah, I would. I think the main recommendation would be to do whatever it takes to just try it, because I think that the actual, like, the hang up around whether or not you're going to have something useful to say, you discover that by trying it and seeing if people say subscribed and like it. The question around whether it is, like, the fears around whether you're going to be able to do it every day, that's interesting because it gets easier every day that you do it. Like, it's kind of surprising how quickly writing every day becomes feasible, because you get better. You get faster, you get a rhythm going, you get, like, a backlog of ideas of things you could write about. You start to make discoveries like, wow, I can write a 3-line letter and then it's done. Like, you see how doable it is by doing it. So I think the recommendation, if you're thinking about it and you're on the fence, is just try it. Like, commit to doing it for some period of time, 30 days maybe, and see if you like it. And if a commitment device like, you know, taking email 365 is like gonna get you to start, then that's great.
Cool. Thanks for the plug.
I mean, for me, that's sort of what it was. Like, it's a commitment device. Like, it is just about starting. So anything to get yourself to just start and commit to doing it for a certain amount of time is what I'd recommend doing.
Perfect. Well, this has been super great. Thanks so much.
Of course. I enjoyed it. Thanks so much for having me.
Where can people go to find out more about you, maybe even sign up for your list?
Yeah. If you want to sign up for my list, you can do it on my website for LPC. So that's laurenpearlconsulting.com/newsletter. And you can check it out, see those posts, and be along for the finance ride.
Cool. Well, I'll link to that in the show notes. Well, thanks again. This has been fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks so much, Jonathan.